Most gracious Heavenly Father, please work in us all by the power of your Spirit, so that we may have soft hearts ready to receive your word and be changed by it. Help me to speak clearly and faithfully to your word. Amen. I wonder what comes to mind when you think of being strong. Have a think about it. What do you think of? I'll tell you what I think of. That's what I think of. Can you see that? Bit of light up there. It's Darth Vader. That's what I think of. That's what I think of. And, oh, there's a bit of... That's Arnie with it. Can you see that? Is there a bit of light? Oh, well, that's what I think of. Muscles, the force. Who doesn't think of the force? Which man in here doesn't think of the force? Come on. Superheroes, Superman, the best of them. And Arnie is just the symbol of strength in the 20th century. I wonder, though, if when you think of strength, this ever comes to mind. Or the cross. They're not really as often associated with strength and power as those others, are they? Well, in this final passage of the letter, Paul gives one last exhortation for the Ephesians, one last encouragement. And it comes in verse 10. He says, Be strong in the Lord. What does this mean? Well, basically it means be a strong Christian. Be a Christian who overflows with the characteristics of God. And it's important to take note of this command because it's sort of like the heading of the entire passage. Everything that follows from this is Paul explaining how we be strong in the Lord. So how do we be strong? With the mighty power of God? Well, the next couple of verses tell us how and why. Let's read from verse 11. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How do we be strengthened in the Lord and in his mighty power? Well, we put on the armour of God, don't we? And this is not some obscure ritual. It's really much like putting on the new self, which we learn about in chapter 4. The new self, which is created in righteousness and holiness. Do you remember? It wasn't that long ago. And why do we wear this armour? So that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Make no mistake, everything that Paul talks about in this passage is real. We really are in a spiritual battle where the fate of our soul is at stake. We need to be realistic about what Paul talks about here, about our struggle against the rulers and authorities of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. They are real. The devil and his schemes are real. And only by the power of God do we have any chance of standing against it. Therefore, Paul says, put on the full armour of God, so when the day of evil comes, which is a day of trial and temptation, you may be able to stand your ground. We mustn't miss how much emphasis Paul puts on the need to stand firm. Four times in verses 11 to 14, he says we need to stand against the devil and the evil spiritual forces. And why is the emphasis given? Because it's not easy to stand firm, is it? It's so easy to fall back, to give in to temptation and to the lies of the devil. And this is where we really see the need for the strength of God in our lives. Because the devil is a master at deception and temptation. At the times when we're tempted to sin, when we want to give in and believe the lie that pleasing ourselves now is better, that's when the devil is working. When we desire something which isn't in line with the promises of God, we begin to give the devil a foothold, and we're not wearing the armour of God. You know the times that this happens in your life, don't you? It was the same for the Ephesians. And Paul already talked about it in chapter 4. When we let anger get the best of us, when we steal, when we speak about people poorly, when we give in to sexual temptation, even in our minds, when we waste our time desiring the grander life, basically anything which is in line with the futility of the Gentiles. And the real problem, I think, with these struggles and sins is that we sort of see them as acceptable sins, don't we? You know, it's not outright hatred, it's not murder, it's not adultery. But really, aren't these things just as harmful? And in some cases, aren't they even more harmful? Because they're secret. You can hide them easily, can't you? And it's hard for your friends to rebuke you about it. And in these sins, in these struggles, Satan is hard at work to turn you aside from pursuing the glory of Christ and seeing his name proclaimed. In the words of some Bible nerd that I was reading this week, evil rarely looks evil until it accomplishes its goal. It gains entrance by appearing attractive, desirable, and perfectly legitimate. It is a baited and camouflaged trap. We often don't give in to the wiles and the schemes of the devil knowingly. So let's really feel the weight of the need to be strong in the Lord by putting on the full armour of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. But how do we put on God's strength? How do we put on and use the full armour of God? We'll take a look from verse 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The first thing we need to put on is truth. Why truth? Because Satan is a liar. In fact, Jesus calls him the father of lies because he deceives and tricks us into sin. Jesus says that it's the truth that sets us free. What he means is that when we know and believe the truth that is in him, when we live by the promise that Jesus has saved us, that he will return and bring us to himself as a new creation, when we know this, we are set free. But the devil lies to us. He tells us that waiting for this, waiting for Jesus, is not worth it. He tells us that we should do what we want now, do what feels good now, forget about what Jesus says. And this is why we need the belt of truth, buckled around our waist. We need to wear truth so we don't give in to the lies of the devil. Without knowing and believing and holding on to the truth of God, we can't stand against the devil's schemes. As well as a belt of truth, we need the breastplate of righteousness in place. How does righteousness help us stand firm and protect us? Well, Satan has the power of accusation. Satan has power over man because he holds them up to God's perfect law and shows how far we are from his standard. Satan has this power because we are sinful. We are guilty. His accusations are right. But Jesus took our place, didn't he? So when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is from God, Satan is disarmed from his power of accusation because we are dressed in God's own righteousness. We are dressed in God's own sinless perfection. Satan can no longer accuse us because in the eyes of God, we are free from sin because of the death of Jesus. Are you beginning to see the importance of putting on the full armour of God and how wearing this armour enables us to stand against the devil's schemes? But that's not all. The outfit isn't yet complete. Paul goes on next to footwear. But this is more so an active piece of armour. I'll read again from verse 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, why is it that the gospel of peace is for the feet? What's it got to do with readiness? Well, as I said a moment ago, this piece of armour is an active piece of armour. When Paul says that our feet are to be fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, he means that we are to stand in and go forth in the gospel. And this has two implications. Firstly, it means that we are to be ready to tell the gospel. Our feet are to be fitted with the gospel so that we are ready to proclaim the name of Jesus, whether at work, whether to family or friends, maybe even among strangers. And I think we should really be challenged by this. Would you be confident right now to explain the gospel to someone, maybe even the person sitting next to you? If you were door knocking in Pennant Hills and someone said, "I don't really know much about Jesus or church," would you be ready and confident to say, "Well, let me tell you"? This is important because we have a responsibility as the body of Christ to carry the good news of Jesus to the lost. Are you ready and equipped to do that? And if not, what are you going to do to get ready? And the second implication is feet which are fitted with readiness that come from the gospel always stand in the one true gospel. And you can see here why this piece of armour is so crucial to standing against the schemes of the devil. When we always know and stand in the one true gospel, we'll never be tempted to add or subtract anything from it. and will more easily recognise a false gospel, like one which says we need to have some certain spiritual attribute to be a legitimate Christian, or one which says you must go to church this many times and confess your sins, or you won't be forgiven. Someone whose feet are fitted with the readiness of the gospel will always know the true gospel from everything else, and they will be ready to live it and tell it to those who don't know Jesus. Excuse me. In verse 16, Paul goes on, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Now, this is a very important piece of armour, the shield of faith. Paul even gives a specific reason why we need the shield of faith, so that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I mentioned earlier how the devil attacks us, which is with lies and deception. And the thing which is going to prevent us from falling prey to the devil's flaming arrows is faith. Because every sin we commit, whether small or great, is because of a lack of faith. What do I mean by that? Well, actually, something very similar to what I said about believing the truth in Jesus. If we had perfect faith, we would never once decide that pleasing ourselves now is the better option. Not to say that we would never do anything good or have any fun, but we'd never give in to temptation. We'd never put ourselves first. If we had perfect faith, we'd be like Jesus in every way, because we would always believe that what God has promised in Jesus is worth waiting for. And more than that, we would know, we would be fully convinced that Christ-like living is always far better than giving into sin and pleasing ourselves with fleeting pleasures. This is how faith extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one. Satan fires at us. Pew. Waste time at work. Pew. Look at that dodgy website. Hold back money on your tax return. Hold back info. Tell everyone at work about that idiot who was in yesterday. Spend heaps of time reading magazines, coveting better stuff. But when we've taken up the shield of faith, we won't give in to these lies, because we stand firm in the promises of God. We know that living God's way is far better. We don't need to please ourselves now with these fleeting pleasures, because we trust God. And Satan's power is extinguished. He has nothing to hurt us with now, because we are protected by the power of God through faith. Friends, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He continues, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? Well, it's assurance, isn't it? The victory over sin and death has been won by Jesus and his work on the cross. With the helmet of salvation, we are protected from the schemes of the devil because we are saved, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We are already saved by grace. When we're wearing the helmet of salvation, Satan can't touch us. So if you're a Christian, be encouraged. You're wearing it. Keep wearing it. But if you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus, if you haven't yet asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, then you're not wearing it. Let me encourage you to have a think about that. What power do you have to stand against the schemes of the devil without God? Why not put your faith in Jesus? Why not give your life to Jesus who died for you? Because in Jesus, God has offered a greater gift than we can ever get from this world. Only if you put your life in Jesus' hands can you have the life that he offers and stand against the devil's schemes. And finally, Paul comes to the only weapon in the armour of God, the sword of the Spirit. And as much as every piece of armour is the most important in its own way, without this one, we would have no knowledge of the others. Without the Word of God, without our Bibles, we would be absolutely helpless in this spiritual battle, wouldn't we? To be strong in the Lord, to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, the Word of God must always be in our minds and in our mouths. And there are two main functions of this sword in the life of the Christian. And only if you read your Bible will it perform these functions. The two functions are proclamation and pruning. There's a reason that the Word of God is described as a sword, because it cuts to the heart of a person. It penetrates us and it fills us with the knowledge of God. So firstly, we are to use the Word of God for proclamation. We are to speak the Word of God to those who don't know it, letting it cut them to the heart. The Word of God should be flowing out of us. And as we do this, we stand against the devil by fighting to release the lost from his grasp. And the only way that we can do this successfully is if we're reading our Bibles. If our heads and our mouths are filled with the Word of God. Secondly, the Word of God is for pruning. On one hand, the Word is used toward others. On the other, it's used toward us. And the sword of the Spirit in our lives is to cut the waste. We are to use the Bible and its teaching to cut off sin in our lives, to cut immorality, and to cut greed, to cut idolatry out of our lives. We all know that sinful living happens by nature, doesn't it? And Christ-like living, that only happens by the power of God and a desire to do it. So if our minds aren't filled with the Word of God, then godliness will slowly drift away. And more we'll give in to the schemes and the temptations of the devil. Are you reading your Bible? Are you filling your mind regularly with the Word of God? And it's hard to do, isn't it? It's even hard for someone whose uni textbook is the Bible. So what should we do to make sure we read the Bible regularly? Why not make a plan to read it? Why not find a friend to read it with, or at least to ask you how it's going and pray for you? You should plan with your spouse when and what you are going to read. You should talk about it together. You should read with your kids. You should help them to grow up knowing the Bible. If you need to, admit to your spouse or to a friend when you're finding Bible reading hard. Don't keep a Bible reading drought a secret. Husbands, tell your wives that when you're being lazy in initiating Bible reading, that they should hit you and then suggest you read together. Make the hard decision to not go to sleep, to not have breakfast, to not go to work, to not leave the table until you've read the Bible. We all need the strength of God, don't we? We all need the strength of God to fill our minds and our mouths with the Word of God. And we need the strength of God to proudly wear the helmet of salvation, to take up and persevere with the shield of faith, to fit our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, to have the breastplate of God's own righteousness in place, and to wear the belt of the truth that is in Jesus. And when we do this, we will be strong in the Lord. And we will stand firm against the schemes of the devil. How about I pray that we do this? Will you join me? Gracious Father, we give you thanks for all the great challenges and encouragements you've given us throughout this series in Ephesians. And Father, we ask that you would strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being. We ask, Father, that you would make us strong Christian people whose lives reflect your righteousness and holiness. We ask, Father, that as the devil plans and schemes to lead us away from you, that you would enable us to be strong in you so that we may stand firm. Amen.